Now, here's the harder part. I want to look at the older son and talk about the religious significance of the illusion of righteous anger. The elder son's rage, which is, or gidzo, is probably the better translation of it, was elicited by his brother's return. And this term, translated rage, is reserved only to God. Look at the way it's used throughout the Old Testament. Only God's wrath, and there's a lot of that talked about in the Old Testament. Only God is entitled to that. And the younger son, Luke paints the younger son in terms of his rage as taking on the status of God. His sense of entitlement and righteous anger tells us about some deeper motives, I think. And why? It's drawn to the surface for his healing and his repentance. So, for example, he says, I have been working like a slave for you and never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me even a young goat. To slave duluo is used in the next chapter in Luke. No one can serve two masters. You will either hate the one and love the other. No one. You cannot serve God and wealth. You never gave me anything. Secondly, I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me. Just before this, Jesus says, woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and herbs, but you disobey or you neglect justice and the love of God. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting others. He was obeying the wrong commands. All right, here's what it has, I think. I offer this for your reflection. It ain't fun. The religious significance of the illusion of righteous anger found in the elder son. By the way, whom does Jesus say will put him to death? The chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Same word in Greek. Here's a few points. Often enough, we confuse fear and anger. When a bunch of us get afraid, instead we get angry. Think back to 9/11. It's painful. It's terrible. Anger that can cover fear inflates one or many in order to not feel vulnerable. Getting angry is a way of not feeling vulnerable. It allows one to focus outside and blame, like the son did his father. It allows a person or a group to look outside and blame others and not look inside and see how the fear of vulnerability drives so much. It seems to me, one person's thought, maybe it's time we as individuals and a nation can look inside and see what 9/11 provoked, which is the loss of the illusion of our invulnerability. Because that's what happened that day, didn't it? And that was part of what was so terrible and painful, was that our illusion of invulnerability was destroyed forever. In 15 years, we know that, right? We haven't seen our need to repent from taking on ourselves the mantle of divine wrath and retribution. We have not grieved our powerlessness and impotence at protecting ourselves these 15 years. And that's painful. It's so hard to do. It's so much easier to get big and mean than it is to discover that the illusion of our power has been broken. And that's painful. Perhaps there'll be a time we might be able to face that with a God who welcomes sinners. And what we celebrate in the Eucharistic prayer and in communion is that God makes communion with us sinners and welcomes us. So let's see how we pray today on a day of lots of pain in this country that we don't want to face. So may God bless our poor hearts. Maybe our wounded hearts, that's better.